Radio Prague News.
The Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes says it has uncovered the details of a case of Russian espionage that may have resulted in the resignation of three Czech generals. The Mašín brothers will not be attending the funeral of their partner Milan Paumer. And football Sparta Prague defeated Lech Poznan 1-0 on Tuesday in the first leg of their Champions League qualifier. The daily broadsheet Mladá Fronta Dnes says it has uncovered the details of a case of Russian espionage that may have resulted in the resignation of three Czech generals. Citing anonymous sources, the paper says that a psychologist employed by the Czech prison service was in fact a Russian agent and used his acquaintance with a female major in the Czech army to acquire information about three army generals whose office she ran. The paper based its investigation on this year's military intelligence report, which states that Czech counter-espionage had identified and eliminated an infiltration of the army command by Russian military intelligence the year before, as it attempted to gather sensitive information. The paper notes that the three Czech generals in question resigned within 6 months of the alleged agent leaving his own position in September of that year, and surmises that a recent break-in at the offices of the army general staff may have been related. The Mašín brothers will not be attending the funeral of their partner Milan Paumer, who participated in their violent escape from communist Czechoslovakia in 1953. Ctirad Mašín told the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes that neither he nor his brother would return to their homeland as long as they risked a negative reception. Though honored as heroes by the Czech Prime Minister in 2008, the three anti-communist partisans are still considered criminals by many, as they killed six people during their flight to West Berlin. Neither the Czech President Václav Klaus nor his predecessor Václav Havel will be attending the funeral. Prime Minister Petr Nečas, however, said he would be in attendance if work allowed, and called Milan Paumer a brave man and a symbol of the communist resistance. Milan Paumer died last Thursday at the age of 79. A new poll by the agency Focus suggests that a third of Czechs are satisfied with the composition of the coalition government. According to the poll, 32% of respondents have a positive perception of the government's personnel makeup, while 21% have a negative perception. Respondents were also asked about their expectations of the new government, to which a majority said they expect reductions of the state debt and unemployment rates, as well as less misuse of social welfare. More than half of those asked said they believed the government would be capable of pushing through important measures. The new centre-right cabinet was appointed 2 weeks ago and consists of six ministers from the Civic Democratic Party, five from Topo 9, and four from the Public Affairs Party. Football's Sparta Prague defeated Lech Poznan 1-0 on Tuesday evening in the first leg of their Champions League third-round qualifier. The win gives them a slender advantage when they face their opponents in the second leg in Poland. Sparta's Erik Brabets scored the game's lone goal with 12 minutes remaining after Libor Sionko set up a cross leading to the strike. Ahead of the match, security was heightened to prevent any clashes between Sparta fans and visiting Polish rowdies. There were only a few minor incidents. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be partly cloudy to cloudy, with scattered showers and daytime temperatures of around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, three Czech generals are said to have resigned in connection with a spying scandal. The Brno train station may be moved out of the city centre, and the new environment minister orders his employees to observe a dress code. Later on in the show, we go to the East Bohemian town of Dobruška, which every summer hosts Czech language courses for foreigners.
My father's Czech, and he didn't teach me Czech, unfortunately, so I really wanted to get back to my roots.
All that coming your way, so please do stay with us. A Czech newspaper claims three generals were forced to leave the army in 2009 after the security services found their offices had been infiltrated by a Russian spy. The Daily Mladá fronta dnes claimed in a front-page exclusive on Wednesday that a female major with access to all three men had been befriended by the spy, although her role in the affair remains unclear. Rob Cameron has been following the story and joins me now in the studio. Rob, this all sounds very Mata Hari and James Bondish. Has any of it actually been confirmed by a second source?
No, it hasn't. That's the problem. The three generals who did really leave the army last year are barred from commenting on the case from the confidentiality clause in their contracts, and neither the Defence Ministry nor the intelligence services will comment on it, of course. So all we have are Mladá fronta dnes' allegations that the three were forced to resign after a female major who worked for all three of them as their head of staff had struck up a friendship with a psychologist working in an unnamed Czech institution. He was a Czech citizen with at least one Russian parent, and the security services believe that this man, named only as Robert R., was in fact working for Russian intelligence. He was a spy. Now, he has since fled back to Russia.
So you say the generals are tight-lipped. So where is this information coming from?
What Mladá fronta dnes describes as a reliable source, but the generals themselves won't comment. They are Josef Prox, he's 50, he's the former deputy chief of staff for the Czech army, František Hrabal, 53, the former head of President Klaus's military office, and Josef Sedlák, he's 50, the former Czech representative with NATO command in Belgium. Now, only he will comment. He said that he couldn't confirm that his departure was linked to these allegations of spying, although he did say that he was angry that the security services hadn't informed him that his subordinate, this woman, was in contact with an alleged Russian spy. And instead, they just had him and her and the two other generals followed by the security services for 5 years.
So what about this mysterious female officer who seems to be at the centre of the story? What do we know about her?
Well, not much, I'm afraid. It's not clear if she was aware that this person that she met, this friend, was working for Russian intelligence. It's not clear whether she actually provided any useful information or not. She's since left the army and is currently abroad, according to the newspaper. We don't even know her name, so perhaps it's a bit premature to call her the Czech Mata Hari, as some of the papers are doing.
Do we know what in particular the Russians were interested in here?
Well, the Czech counterintelligence service reported last month that Russian spies are becoming increasingly active in the Czech Republic. There was certainly a spike in activity when Prague agreed several years ago to host elements of the US missile defense system. That's, of course, since been abandoned. But the Russians are also interested in the energy sector in the Czech Republic. Russia's Atomstroy export is one of the three bidders to improve on and enlarge the country's largest nuclear power plant Temelin. And last year, this case is not the first case, last year the Czech Republic actually expelled two Russian diplomats, including a deputy to the military attaché in the Russian embassy, on suspicions of spying.
Rob Cameron with that intriguing report. Now we go to the eastern part of the country. The Moravian city of Brno might soon see its main train station move south, out of the city centre. Brno's central district recently issued a planning permit for the controversial multi-billion crown project, but opponents of the plan believe that the process can still be stopped. Jan Richter has the details.
Passengers at Brno's main station may soon have to go to a new location to catch their train. For nearly two decades, Brno City Hall has been pushing to move the city's railway junction some 800 meters to the south, where a new station building would be constructed. This would enable a thorough modernization of the railway junction not possible in the cramped quarters of the city center. The 1839 railway station building would then be transformed into a shopping mall. The plan has now received the green light from Brno's central district, which last week issued a respective planning permit. Brno's mayor Roman Onderka says if things go smoothly, construction could start in several months' time.
If the planning permit enters into force, the Railway Infrastructure Administration, as well as the Transport Ministry, will be able to apply for about 8 billion crowns from EU funds and apply for a building permit. If there are no appeals and no delays, I believe construction work could start by the end of this year.
But it is very likely that there will be appeals against the authorities' decision. 6 years ago, a coalition of local NGOs made Brno City Hall hold a referendum on the project. Not enough people came to the polls for the outcome to be binding, and a planning permit was issued in 2007. But the NGOs took the matter to court, which ruled in their favor. They are planning to challenge the latest permit as well. Hanna Chalupská is one of the activists.
Together with other NGOs and individuals, we are at the moment reviewing the planning permit. It has some 200 pages, but it looks like we will appeal the decision because our objections were literally ignored. So I think we will appeal the decision and other people will do the same on an individual basis.
The activists say the project would hinder the development of railway transport in the whole region. Also, city trams and buses run very close to the current main station, which is really convenient for travelers. On the contrary, the planned location for the new station building is very user-unfriendly, according to Hanna Chalupská.
No city in Western Europe has moved its train station from the center to the periphery. In the case of Brno, the move would be very significant because the current location is central, which is very convenient for the travelers. The area where it's supposed to move is now being developed very chaotically, and it only has office blocks, parking lots, and shopping malls, and I don't think this will ever become a lively city neighborhood.
The NGOs have until the 9th of August to formally appeal against the decision to Brno City Hall. If their objections are dismissed, the 20 billion crown project may once again end up in court.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, do you need to observe a dress code at work? Long-sleeved dress shirts and slacks for men, knee-length skirts and long-sleeved blouses for women, no open-toe shoes or sandals. Such is the dress code that newly appointed Minister of the Environment, Pavel Drobil, is asking employees of his ministry to abide by in the future. In addition, shirts proclaiming affinity or membership of environmental groups will also be taboo. Some current employees feel that the dress code Mr. Drobil is calling for goes too far. Sarah Borufka spoke to Rachel Konorovsky, the Czech InStyle magazine's editor-in-chief, about what work attire should look like and whether the new dress code is reasonable.
I think that that dress code is extremely normal in all international business environments. I don't think it's surprising at all. As far as the closed-toed shoes are involved, I know many colleagues from New York who have had the same dress code in their company, and they've been able to adapt and still be able to find footwear. And, of course, a man should generally wear slacks or a business suit every day in the office. This is not surprising whatever.
Do you think that in the Czech Republic, business attire is still interpreted rather casually?
You know, I would say that business attire in Czech Republic is interpreted quite traditionally. What I find is that people tend to keep to their normal suits, a black suit, matching black coat and black pants, or gray coat and gray pants. People are kind of afraid to step outside that box. But as in any business environment, what I find is that it's often difficult to, as a manager, single out particular people who maybe are not following the dress code or not dressing appropriately for work. And so to kind of institute a dress code like what has happened in the ministry is a nicer way to do this without really pointing fingers and saying you are dressing inappropriately, just telling everyone and encouraging everyone to dress in a professional manner.
Some employees have taken offense to the part that bans any T-shirts that proclaim an affinity or membership of certain environmental movements, since this is the environment ministry. Do you think that is justified at all?
I think that in politics, your viewpoints should come across in your policy, and if you need to put them on a t-shirt, maybe we need to have a conversation about why these people are unable to get their viewpoints across in policy or in discussions about policy, and why they feel the need to proclaim something on a t-shirt instead of just speaking about it.
And lastly, the former Minister of the Environment, Martin Bursík, has commented on this dress code, and he said it was in some ways nonsensical because the building is not well insulated, so it gets very hot. Do you think comfort is at all valid as an argument when it comes to business wear?
I do. I mean, I think it's quite difficult to do your job if your building is not well air conditioned and it's been a very hot summer like it is this year. In that case, they might discuss having instituted casual days on the expected hot days of the summer. But still, I mean, we're talking about probably a short-sleeved button-up shirt to go into the office, although I personally do not recommend that men normally wear a short-sleeved button-up shirt. But on a very hot day, like we've had this year, many of them, I can see how this would be appropriate. But then that's just a matter of having an office policy. If the temperature is going to rise a certain amount, then of course, you can wear short sleeves to the office. But still, a t-shirt, I really don't think that that's office appropriate.
Rachel Kanarovsky, the Czech InStyle magazine's editor-in-chief, speaking there to Radio Prague's Sarah Borufka about dress code at work. Well, I admit we do fall a mite short of that standard here at Radio Prague and occasionally do come in wearing a t-shirt, but I promise we'll dress up for our next photo session. A reminder for latecomers to the show, you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, in the next few minutes, Jan Richter will take you on a trip to the East Bohemian town of Dobruška, which annually hosts Czech language courses for foreigners.
For many Czechs, the eastern Bohemian town of Dobruška evokes the Czech national revival, a time when the Czech language was on the verge of extinction. A local merchant, immortalized in the novel F.L. Věk by the Czech writer Alois Jirásek, worked tirelessly in and around Dobruška to promote the Czech language and literature. Today, a different kind of Czech revival is taking place in the town. For the last 20 years, Prague's Charles University has been organizing summer language courses for expats at this particular venue.
Jaká je Dobruška? Dobruška je... Sorry, Sarah.
In a classroom of the Charles University Teaching Center in Dobruška, some 15 young people from all over the world are struggling with the declinations of Czech words. They are part of a group of more than 60 students from 36 countries who came to the Czech Republic for the month-long course. Iva Čtvrtečková is one of the organizers.
Majority of students have some relatives which have their roots in Czech Republic, like usually parents or grandparents. For example, students from Croatia, there are communities close to Daruvar, so they are Czech schools, they are very well, they are very good at Czech. Or there are some students who are working on the embassies and they are various counselors, so they have their connection through politics to the Czech Republic. Usually, most of them have some relatives from Czech Republic.
After Tuesday's class, I sat down with some of the students to talk about what brought them here. One of them was 28-year-old Ainsley Morehouse from Toronto.
My mom is from Czech Republic, and so I wanted to get to her roots. And also, I have great interest in the theater in the Czech Republic during the Soviet occupation. So I am researching. In order to do so, I have to speak the language.
Another student in the beginners program was Jeremy Steiner. He lives in Paris but has Czech roots, like most of his classmates in Dobruška.
I'm the only one in my family who doesn't speak Czech. My father, my mother, my sister, and my brother speak Czech, so I feel like I have to learn Czech. Plus, I'm Czech. I mean, I have a Czech passport.
How's the language instruction going? Is it good? Do you learn a lot?
I learn a lot. It's very, very practical. There's a lot of games, songs, so it's easy to memorize. And For now, we're just learning the basics because none of us know much Czech, but it's very well taught.
But not all students at Dobruška this summer have a Czech background. Georgi Javachishvili came from Georgia. His grandfather once spent 10 years studying in then Czechoslovakia, and Georgi might want to do the same in the future.
I'm studying in Georgia in university, and I'm at the last course. Therefore, I want to see and see what's going on in Czech Republic. Maybe I will study at magistrature in Czech Republic when I would have a chance.
How do you like the courses? It looks very friendly and very playful. Do you like that?
Yeah, I like that because our teacher is very friendly. She makes everything to help us to learn some more on Czech language, and I think that it is good for us.
And do you have any Czech background?
No, my grandfather was studying in Czech Republic for 10 years, and he was a doctor. Maybe it is famous man in Georgia, as he is very friendly with Czech embassy in Georgia, and he helps every time to Czech and Georgian relationship. In Georgian, for Georgian people.
Students at the Dobruška are on all kinds of levels in Czech proficiency. The center also offers classes on art, theater and music. But most of them are, of course, interested in improving their Czech. Charles University's Iva Čtvrtečková again.
We have here total beginners who doesn't know one word. Maybe sometimes pivo is very usual word they know. And then we have students who can speak fluently, and sometimes you can't recognize that they are the foreigners, so they improve their Czech kind of significantly. It depends how much do they try to improve it, of course, and it differs from person to person, but usually they are satisfied.
Klára Bartošová came to Dobruška from Australia. Her Czech father never taught her his native tongue, so she has some catching up to do.
My father's Czech, and he didn't teach me Czech, unfortunately, so I really wanted to get back to my roots, and I feel like it's really important to be able to communicate with him and my grandfather, so that's why I'm doing the course.
What's the schedule here? I mean, in the morning you have courses, what do you do then?
In the morning we have about 3-4 hours of lessons, and then after that sometimes we'll do excursions, like we went to a castle a few days ago, which was beautiful, and we went to Babička Valley. That was really beautiful as well. We went to a mill, a water mill. And so we just do field trips and excursions, which is really important, so there's a good balance. I think every day is really well organized, really well. It's like jam-packed, so we're always on our feet, so it's good.
Iva Čtvrtečková showed me the full schedule of the course with all the trips and other activities. Monday afternoon was devoted to something called the Night of Nations. So I asked Iva what kind of event was that.
It means that they present their nations, their states, what's so interesting about their countries, and also about the communities of Czechs living there. So it's like 10-minute presentation of every country.
You show Czech movies, I suppose that must be very popular.
Yeah. But what is interesting, if they watch the Czech movie, then if it's comedy, they laugh at different places. Like in different moments than Czechs usually laugh, so the perception of the movie is totally different. We've got usually movies with subtitles, like Czech movie with English subtitles or Czech movie with Czech subtitles. And from those like classical movies like Eiffel Věk to modern movies like Účastníci zájezdu.
So you make them sit through the 5 hours or 6 hours of all the series of Eiffel Věk?
No, it's only partially, and it's divided into more parts, so it's not like sit in front of TV for 5 hours, totally not.
What's the most popular trip that nobody wants to miss?
Usually to Náchod, to the brewery Primátor, because they've got the excursion through the brewery, and also they're tasting those like 12 types. So this is the most kind of interesting trip for them usually, because all of them like Czech beer. And also trips to castles around here, to Little Michelin, for example. because they, some of them are very interested in music, Czech music. They know Bedřich Smetana or Lošana Czech, so Litomyšl is connected to Bedřich Smetana. This is very interesting for them.
The town of Dobruszka lies close to the border of Poland, some 130 kilometers east of Prague. Students at the summer courses seem to appreciate all the sights they get to see, as well as the laid-back atmosphere of the town. Jeremy Steiner again.
Coming from Paris, I live in a city that's very noisy, a lot of pollution. So coming here, it's very nice, very quiet, peaceful, a lot of fresh air, and it's very quaint. I mean, the town square, Náměstí, is very, very nice, and we went up the clock yesterday. Beautiful view of the town, so very nice, very... I like the fact that it's small and in the middle of the countryside.
The courses in Dobruszka are funded by the Czech government, which each year provides 60 fellowships to experts from around the world. If you'd like to come next year, you can find more information at the Czech Foreign Ministry website www.mzv.cz.
Jan Richter with that special on the Czech language courses held in Dobruszka every summer. And I'm afraid our time is up. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. And you can also write to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. We'll be glad to hear from you. As always, this is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care. Svět plný báječných seznámení, svět, co trochu je a trochu není. A mně se zdá, že je to hra, co nemá konec ani začátek. Co bude dál, je ve hvězdách, jenom ten, co stále čeká na pátek. Stojím tu na rohu už několik let, divadlo, kavárna, kino, svět. Nenech se přemlouvat, směle dál, vlož do mě svůj životní kapitál. Předvedu ti sebe, tebe, předvedu nás. Zítra tě rozpláču, pozítří pobavím zas. Jsem kandidát loutkových věd, www.prknesvět.cz.